Inside the Huddle with Sky Sports, Neil Reynolds and Jeff Rimebo.
Yes, hello and welcome to Inside the Huddle in association with NFL Shop Europe. We're sponsored by DraftKings.co.uk, your home of one-day fantasy sports. I'm your host, Neil Reynolds, joined as ever by my partner, Jeffrey Rimebold.
Jeffrey,
giving you the full jet.
Jeffrey,
in trouble,
I don't know, exactly. Jeffrey, I think there's only been a couple people call me that, my college coach and my mother, and that was in trouble on both occasions.
Jeff, we've got lots to talk about in the NFL, but first of all, I need to check if you're okay because Taquio's gone home.
No, he's still here.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, you've been going out still?
Yeah.
When's he leave?
I don't know if he's leaving. He may stay.
That was cute on Sunday night in the studio. You guys had your own little handshake and everything now, haven't you?
Hey, you know what was really cool? I'm not deflecting.
I think you are.
But I thought it was unbelievable that, and I said this to Taquio as we were walking out of the thing, that family came by with their son, who they had named after Taquio,
yeah,
because they loved the way he played and the way he presented himself. And I said to him as we were walking out of the, out of the studio, as we watched your limo pull away, and we were getting ready to get the last bus home.
Yeah, that's how it rolls. That's how we roll.
But I said, you know, it's amazing, and what a credit, and what a real cool thing, because somebody naming their child after you, that's their flesh and blood, man. That sticks forever.
Yeah.
And, you know, they did it not just because you're a great football player, but by the way you handled yourself. And I think there's a lesson in that. And I told him I'm going to continue to tell that story to my players about, hey, you never know who's watching.
Well, I think, our producer of this podcast, Nick Pike, is going to be having a child in the new year. And I think he's got a decision to make, whether it's Jeff or Neil. You know, I think that's going to be a big decision to be made over Christmas.
I thought you were going to tell me he was named after Nick Mangold.
Oh, there we go. Listen, what a wild Sunday in the NFL. I feel like we've got off track already. So let's talk a little bit of NFL. A wild Sunday when you look at everything that happened, and when Antonio Brown tearing a calf muscle and going out for the rest of the regular season becomes a footnote, then you know it's a kind of wild Sunday. You had the Patriots and Steelers.
Well, I'm so glad you said it that way.
It is, right? I mean, it was just such a wild weekend.
Yeah, and it was part of a wild weekend, and it wasn't the defining moment in the game and all that crapola that I heard, other media guys
say. It was a classic between the Patriots and Steelers. We'll talk about that. Aaron Rodgers came up short in his comeback game for the Green Bay Packers. Gene Steratore used a piece of card to try and measure first.
That guy's on my list, bro. I'm telling you, that's after he was the head official for the Seattle game in Jacksonville, and he let that thing get out of control. Now he pulls out a business card. And
I don't get it, Jeff, because he stuck the card between the ball and the marker and then signaled first down. Surely if you get the card between the two, then there's air there.
Yeah, unless,
it was bizarre.
Unless the ball moved.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. That was bizarre.
Almost as bizarre as, here we go one more time. Is it a catch or is it not a catch?
Yeah, let's get into some of that Patriots and Steelers game then, because before we get to Big Ben and clocking it or not clocking it, and that's interesting because
comments.
We're reacting immediately in the studio on Sky Sports. We don't have the luxury of seeing those press conferences, so we're speculating about what the call was from the sidelines, and that was fascinating, Jeff, because all of the comments from Big Ben, you know, I wanted to clock it. It was third down. I want to clock it, and we kick a field goal, and we go to overtime. And we'll get into all of that in a second, but let's talk about the catch, no catch, because by the letter of the rules, because it used to be you catch it, you make a football move, and then the football move had been made, and he breaks the plane of the goal line. That should be a touchdown. Mm-hmm. But with a catch, you have to go all the way to the ground. You have to secure it. But let's start here, Jeff. It was ruled a touchdown on the field. Was there clear and obvious evidence to overturn it? That's the mandate you have when you're looking at instant replay.
That's exactly the way it's worded. Mm. And you know what, Neil? It was interesting sitting there as we were all watching the same replay over and over and over again, and the NFL had gone to the replay booth and all of that. And I want to talk about the catch, but then I want to talk about those minutes between when Jesse James stretched that ball out and when the official said no catch.
Right.
So let's talk about catch first. the NFL has gone down a road that has turned into a rabbit hole, and Alice don't live here no more. I mean, it is not a good situation, and it's what happens when you have a knee-jerk reaction to a – and when I say knee-jerk, I'm talking about if we go back to the Dez Bryant versus Packers catch, no catch,
right.
What, 3 years ago, I believe it is, that's where this rule comes from. Now, what the illogical nature of the rule to me is, first point, if you are running with the football – running with the football. Let's say you'd caught the ball at the 10.
Yeah.
You're running with the football. You dive into the end zone, hit the ground, and the ball comes out. Is it a touchdown or not a touchdown?
Touchdown. It's a touchdown. So what's what
we've
said?
Because you broke the plan.
And that's what we said on Sunday night. You can't have one play, you know, a running play be judged differently from a catch. Jeff, I do think you're right. We've gone down a big rabbit hole of, right, it's got to be this, and it's got to be we had one a couple of years ago. Martavis Bryant caught the ball and then at the back of the end zone and then did a somersault, and he had to land with the ball at the end of the somersault, even though he was 8 yards out of bounds by that point, because it had to complete the catch. And maybe we just need – maybe catch just needs to be a judgment call, pass interference.
If
it looks like a catch, call it a catch.
Yeah, it's so illogical because you throw a fade in the back of the end zone and the guy catches the football, gets his feet down. Is it a touchdown or not a touchdown? It's a touchdown.
Yeah.
He does the same thing, falls to the ground. Now, is it a touchdown or a no catch? Because the ground.
It's just the ambiguity of the rule. I mean, I don't know if Damir Bird, you said it at the time as we were watching. You said that's going to be ruled a touchdown. But at first glance, to me, that's no more a touchdown or less a touchdown than Jesse James. And that's where you've got. But what about then the minutes while they're looking at it?
Because that's the thing. That's what I've been
waiting
to
Big Ben's sitting on his knees praying that they give it a touchdown. Should they not have been planning what? Because now it seems like there was confusion.
Absolute confusion and panic on the Steelers sideline.
Because if you don't know, because half those people didn't know that Ben was going to clock it or not clock it, and then.
Whose responsibility is that?
It's the head coach, right?
The head coach.
You plan. You start to plan for the worst case scenario.
You use those seconds, minutes now, with a replay, to go through all the possible scenarios. You're on the phone. You cannot control. You know, coaches are so funny because we say all the time to players, worry about what you can, control. Don't worry about non-controllable factors. Well, the replay is a non-controllable factor. You have no input in it.
Right.
None whatsoever.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
So what you have input in during that time, and this is really, really important, you now have to look at all the possibilities. There's 7 seconds left. We kick a field goal, we guarantee overtime. Mm. If we go for it, can we throw one in the end zone and still have a second to kick the field? Whatever the down and distance is, all of those scenarios. What play do you like? What personnel group do you want? What's our thought?
Yeah.
And they did none of it. None of it. And then to hear that.
Well, it sounds like they changed it on the fly because Darius Heyward-Bey runs the cross, so he doesn't get out of bounds. So then Ben's thinking, clock it. And Mike Tomlin changes their mind. And as you go through the progression of it, there are mistakes left, right, and center, Jeff, because Eli Rogers, the one thing you don't want to be running on that kind of fake spike is a slant.
Yeah.
Ben, when he sees the slant in a crowd, then has to just throw it into row Z and say, well, coach, there was nothing there.
Right.
And we kick a field goal. Because at the start of that drive, before Juju went off for 69 yards, at the start of the drive, if you'd have offered the Steelers a field goal and said you can get into overtime, they'd have bitten your hand off.
Take it. And again, just so listeners understand, there is and we talked about this in the studio while that was going on, there is a coaching saw, if you will, that if you're at home in that scenario, you always kick the field goal because you're – going to play overtime in front of your crowd.
But the Patriots get inside your head, right? Look at the Colts a few years ago. Remember when the Colts lined up with just one guy in the middle and on the fake punt?
Yeah, and they outsmart themselves.
And they make you do stuff like that.
You know what? That's a great point because I looked at when we did our film study for the game, I went back and looked at that AFC Championship game. And I'm not saying that what the Steelers did structurally was wrong, but it was such a departure from what they had been and done that inevitably in 1 week you're never going to be able to pull it off at a high level against a team that is built on, you know, synchronized effort, everything's details, everything. So you're going to go out there and try and junk it up against those guys. They're going to kill you. And that's what happened. Now, same thing again. And again, let's call a spade a spade. Let's let it, you know, hey, if it's green, it's green. It ain't blue, it's green. They screwed it up.
Right. Well,
because they have audio communication with the quarterback during that period.
Yeah.
And he's over there with on his knee, getting nothing from the coaches. Yeah. Nothing.
To me, Jeff, without getting to the technicalities of the play call or the decision to clock it or not clock it, in that circumstance, it looked like the Steelers tried to catch the Patriots with their pants around their ankles. And you know who's going to be better prepared in that situation, right?
Yeah,
it's always, I'm going to back the Patriots players 100 times out of 100 to be better prepared in a frantic, frenzied situation. And that's why Eric Rowe comes up with a textbook way to break up a pass, and it ends up in the hands of Jerron Hunt.
All right, just a little story for the listeners.
And viewers.
Jake and viewers. I have a kid at Hawaii, Jake Ingram. He's a long snapper. He gets drafted by the Patriots, goes to the Patriots, and he played on, I don't know, 3 or 4 years with the Patriots, then went on, played probably 4 or 5, 6 more in the NFL. Mm. Anyway, Jake tells me, I see him in Houston. They're playing Houston. It was a game where the little receiver got hurt. He stuck his foot in the ground and blew his knee up.
Edelman.
No.
Wes Welker.
Wes Welker. So, but as I talked to Jake on the field before the game, I said, "How have you enjoyed, you know, being with this organization? How do you like, you know?" He told a story about being out there with the punter, and he was pre-practice snapping the ball to the punter, and Coach Belichick walked by, and Jake, you know, rolled another ball and got over the ball, you know, like you would, and Belichick said, "Get away from the ball," right? And he said, "Now, we're in hot punt, which means you're going to go on and punt it as fast as you can. You go over there, stand over there." He goes, "Hot punt, go." And Jake starts to run to the ball. And then Belichick takes the water squeegee or whatever that thing is, you know, that he has in his hand to drink, and he pours it all over the ball. And he said, "Now it's raining." That's the kind of detail stuff, just impromptu stuff that they do that makes them so much better than everybody else, because they handle those situations. Because
they live it through every single one.
I've seen them at practice, Neil, where all of a sudden, boom, he'll just call it down and distance.
Yeah, I've seen that time and time again. Second or and it could be in the middle of a different drill.
They might be an inside run, and all of a sudden, boom, team, let's go, second and 11.
Yeah. You know, and they do that. I saw them do, and maybe other teams do it. I don't have the luxury of seeing all the teams and know how you practice it, but they do it when they punt and they have the gunners go down. They make the gunners run through the sideline, and Belichick lets all the guys on the sideline try and hit
grab
the gunner.
Them and punch them.
Because
that
might happen in a game.
Yeah.
And it rarely happens in a game, but if it does, you're kind of ready for it. And that's what
there
that's
is
what they do.
A reason that he has won as – you know, they showed the graphic in the game that – no, I don't know if the viewers saw it, but the winningest coaches in the NFL was up there.
Mm.
And it was like Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
I mean, it really was like Mount Rushmore
of
football coaching. And he's one of the faces.
And Mike Tomlin has a good reputation. These are two franchises that don't change head coaches.
Why?
But
why?
Well,
why?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. He does, Jeff. But
why?
Well, I guess because he won one Super Bowl, and the Pittsburgh are always competitive. But what I was about to say was that there is a clear drop off, and Tomlin. And I know you're not. You're not always his biggest sort of fan. I think that's. We've discussed that a number of times over the years. He talks a really good game, and he talks like really impressively. I've sat and interviewed him. He does. But, you know, he failed his team, didn't he, in that situation? Because you can't be hoping the call goes your way. And I mean, we've already touched on that. But you can't be Big Ben on your knees, almost like praying, I don't think Brady does that, Jeff. I think Belichick's in his ear talking about what they do. It's a big failure.
He is trained so well that he's probably going to the sideline
to ask what we're going to do. Yeah,
and the same thing. There's so, and I'm not downing Mike Tomlin. That's not what I'm doing. But I'm just telling you, in that situation, the Pittsburgh Steelers did not handle the situation well. They have people in the box that work time management. They have people in the box that are watching all the personnel changes. There is no reason. They all turned into spectators at the wrong time. Now, Mike Tomlin's won probably 90%, 98% of his press conferences. Bill Belichick ain't won one in the history of his coaching.
He's the Cleveland Browns
but
at press conferences.
What matters, no, you're right, that is. He is the Cleveland Browns of press conferences. But what matters is what you do and your team does on the field.
Yeah.
And look at his record. That's all I'm saying.
Shortly after that game, we were talking in the studio, and since then, across America, everyone is talking about, oh, the rematch. You know, the rematch could come in the championship game.
It may not be.
It may not
happen. I agree with
because
you.
Because the Jacksonville Jaguars, Jeff, are... What are you looking for? You find it. There it is.
Believe. Hey, I got a little video message. Jadeveon Clowney, when you're sitting on your couch... watching that garbage quarterback play in the playoffs, have another plate of nachos. Thank you. All
right. That message was brought to you by Jeff Reinbold Productions. the Jags are such a great story, and they, Jeff, I feel, could spoil this Pittsburgh-New England reunion because they're built for it. They're built for a playoff run. They have, 460-odd yards of offense last weekend without – Leonard Fournette. So now we're starting to see number 5 putting it together. This is a team getting hot at the right time of year, especially on offense. We knew about the defense.
Yeah, you know, and that's why I got my juices up when I saw Jadeveon Clowney's comment because the guy just
threw
for 300 yards against you. It was 20 of 26 or 21 of 26, and you got beat, and they're going to the playoffs, and you're going home. And so don't be disrespectful to another player, especially a guy that played well. So here's the thing I think. When I see the Jags now and I think about Shaq Khan and I think about how much he and that organization were punching bags for so long, and I think about the Browns and I think about the Lions and I think about the Dolphins and I think about all these teams that underachieve, overspend, and – he's going to have a chance now to go to the playoffs. And I think, Neil, I agree with you. You got it 100% right. They are built to win in playoff football.
You think around 2009, I think it was, when Ray Rice went off on an early run in Foxborough and then Baltimore beat the New England Patriots. And you think about what Baltimore were when they knocked off the Patriots a couple of times. Strong running game, just enough out of the quarterback play. And a dominant defense. That's what this Jags team has got. And, Jeff, you're right about being a punching bag. So I've, as you know, been around this team quite a bit. I've been out to their training camps. Right. 2013, I go out there around minicamp time, and we're filming a documentary. It was an Inside the Jags documentary, it was called. And so the Jags said to me, who do you want to take you around the building? We'll give you a player to kind of tour you around. I looked at the roster, and oh, my goodness. Well, I have Josh Scobie, please.
My guy.
I was like, Josh, but Josh was the guy. Yeah. Josh was the tenured veteran in that locker room. And actually, really, looking back now, it was Josh Scobie, your kicker, and then Paul Posluszny was there.
Yeah.
And not much else, Jeff. When I was asking for interviews, then as the years went on, and the Jags, every time I went there, who do you want to interview? And it was like, well, the list is now... there's 4 players, and now the next year it was 5.
That's a good
last
point.
Year it was like, well, I'd like there's 10 of these guys I really want to interview. So they've built and built, and Dave Caldwell, doesn't get a lot of the mention.
Perfect.
Like, they were running to the podium to draft Jalen Ramsey. They told me that. They were running to the podium when Miles Jack fell to them as well. Dave Caldwell is stuck between this Doug Marrone, Tom Coughlin sandwich. And deserves some credit.
Deserves huge credit. And you know, you look at them and you just say, what a blueprint, right? Mm. It isn't rocket science.
Right.
You want to win in the league, you got to have a quarterback who can at least manage the game. There's a lot of similarities, in my opinion, between Flacco and Blake Bortles.
Right.
Now, Blake Bortles wins a Super Bowl, he'll get a big contract like Flacco got, right? Because they're the same guy. They're big, strong guys that, you know, that throw the ball extremely well, the big arms, all that stuff. They're learning, you know, like Joe had to learn to be a touch passer. He had to learn the nuances of being a quarterback. The other thing is, you got to remember, Bortles never was a quarterback until he went to college. He was a linebacker in high school. And so when you think of all those things, it's really, I'm so happy for them. And, you know, I'm not a Jags fan, but I'm just a fan of teams that
get
do
it right.
The right things. Yeah. And, you know, like, it just drives me bonkers as a guy with hardly any passion for the game, Lions fan, to think about every day the clock's ticking on that quarterback. Every day the clock's ticking on Matt Stafford. You have a quarterback who is rare. You've got to find a
way.
Your
window is now.
Yeah, the window. And the window shrinks. And, you know, the window can close that fast in this game. This ain't soccer. This ain't tennis. This ain't basketball.
You've never seen Detroit as a few teams that just don't put enough around starting franchise quarterbacks. When you've got the franchise quarterback, you have to then, it's incumbent on you to build around them. And the other thing I think for the Jags, Jeff, which is going to be relevant as we come into Black Monday and into the coaching changes. Of all the coaching hires last year, Doug Marrone might have been one of the least sexy.
Well, I don't know. You have to ask Mrs. Marrone that question.
Well,
but
true.
But in terms of least exciting, probably, certainly. And but, you know, what I'm saying, though, here's the deal, Neil. When you look at it and you say, it isn't a hard formula, right? You look at the Vikings, and it was awesome to have Rick Spielman on the show the other night because he really has done a phenomenal job of building that team. They needed offensive linemen, right? They draft one in, you know, the centers was an Outland Trophy winner.
Elfline.
Yeah. The Remington Award winner, which is the best center in college football. That allows Berger to go to guard where he's way better, right? Then they go out and get Remmers and Reef, two tackles, you know, in free agency, and all of a sudden the running game takes off. And he's got the guts to let go of a guy who, and you saw it when you were there with him at practice, the guy was bigger than the program.
Yeah, turn up a half hour late if he wants.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's a bad guy. I'm just saying that that's, I mean,
he had that freedom.
And the GM had the,
Christmas nuts.
That's it. Wall ones, big ones, to say that I'm willing to let that guy go, just like Teddy Thompson did with Favre. I'm willing to let that face of our team go because we have to build this thing. And he went out and drafted well and went free agency.
Yeah, he's done it always, hasn't he? Yeah. He's done it always, Jeff. And I think that's a good point. Because we know a lot of those guys.
How many football teams in the National Football League, and I'm going to look at New England and say they probably wouldn't either right now, could stand the loss of two starting quarterbacks and still be in Super Bowl contention?
There's certainly something to be said about that good guys thing because you know then you can rely on them. You can lean on them when the going gets tough. They can be leaders in your locker room. I saw a stat just going back to New England, Jeff, on their roster, and this came from Peter King in his Monday Morning Quarterback column. They've got two players that are from the teams that are the top five ranked college football teams, so all your big powerhouses. But they got three from Rutgers. And when you look at the Vikings, we're fortunate enough to know a number of the Vikings. What are they? Their team, you know, Harrison Smith, yes, he's got the big contract, but he's a team first player and he's a very intelligent player and ultimately he's a good guy. You're not going to see Harrison get in trouble, Jeff. Harrison is sitting at home with his chocolate Labrador. I mean, he's a football player.
Harrison, you got when he gets that gleam in his eye.
That's what he's telling the authorities he's doing.
No, but you make a great point. Now, you look at the Patriots. Two things about the Patriots historically. They've always had more college graduates than any other team on their roster. And they've always had guys, like, how many years have they had an Ivy League player? Now they're long snappers from the Naval Academy. They want guys that are dependable, that guys that are smart, guys that can understand their role and perform their role. Do your job, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the thing about Minnesota. What did Rick say in his interview with us? He talked about, and Coach Vermeil used to call it the player's profile. He called it, they have their own word for it in Minnesota. But what he said was, which is more important, they want tough guys who love football and are unselfish. You get those three qualities in enough guys on your roster, because you're not going to get it in 53. Sure. But if you get enough of those kind of guys, if you get enough Kendricks, if you get enough Smiths, you get enough Keenums, you get enough, you know, Kyles, you get enough of those kind of guys.
Yep.
Thielen. I mean, man, they're
that's a great they're story,
beating
isn't Adam
people with a free agent that – You tell that story, because I love that story so much.
Yeah, just again, this guy who was a college free agent from the local Minnesota State. And he's almost like I feel like he was given an opportunity because he's a local. He was a PR signing almost, Jeff.
Yeah,
I feel like he was. And they're trying to pump him out and push him out. Can you interview Adam Thielen? And I was like, who the hell is Adam Thielen? You know, and then here we are. What was that? So that was 2013. So 4 years later, and now he's one of the best receivers in the NFL, and that's not an
1,000-yard guy.
Yeah.
And the guy on the other side was a
fifth rounder.
How many of those?
The value.
I mean, just look around the league at those guys that were taken in the first, second, third rounds and never played.
I tell you where Rick Spielman's clever as well, Jeff. Sorry to cut you. Is that he? And we talked about this a bit last week, where you will see more teams stockpile at quarterback, and you look at what they did at running back as well. They had Dalvin Cook. They had Jerick McKinnon. They go out and get Latavius Murray, and you're like, hang on a minute, that's three guys at running back. Dalvin Cook's gone, and you still got your double-headed monster.
Mm-hmm.
They've built depth, and they've chased free agents just because they fit their system, they like them, even if they don't necessarily need them at first glance. But now they're using them.
That's where football guys, right? Football guys making personnel decisions are different than business guys or non-football guys, which I refer to them as card collectors. Mm. Because remember when you were a little kid and you had football cards, and I wanted a Bruce Smith and you wanted a Dan Marino, and we'd go down to the – I mean, I don't know if that was here, but in the States –
No, swapping my Dan Marino.
Yeah, in the States, you'd pay 25 cents, and you'd get this stick of, like
– Rock hard bubble gum.
And five football cards. And, like, my hero was Ray Oldham, who was with the Colts and then the Giants and finished with – won a Super Bowl with the Steelers, finished with the Lions, we've lost him now, sadly, but he was my hero. And I swear to God, I begged, I cut grass, I did everything I could till I had enough corners to go by until I finally got a Ray Oldham card. Mm. That's what some of these guys that are building football teams do. They go, okay, I'll take that running back and that. You build with depth at positions that are at risk. Quarterback, running back, corner.
Mm.
Because you can't lose those guys. Now, you can say, well, we'll take Dalvin Cook, and he did all of what he did. And yes, he was he was having a heck of a rookie season.
Yep.
But you know what? He plays at a high-risk position. Mm. Ask Connor from Pittsburgh.
Yep. Right? Jeff, I used to have thousands of football cards.
Did you really? Did you keep them?
I did. I had thousands and thousands.
Did you keep them?
No, because – so then I got married.
Oh, boy, that's killed a lot of great
They
things.
Went into the home office – Then we had our first child.
The England Home Office?
No, they went into our – we had a home office. Then they went into – then we had Georgie, and they went into the loft. Then I had Daisy, and they stayed in the loft just about. And then we had Poppy, and along came the dog. And where do you think those cards are now? Recycling.
Oh,
shocking.
That's so bad.
Hundreds of them.
Marriage.
There's a lesson in that, Jeff.
There's a lesson there.
Let's look at a couple more. I'd say let's do this. Well, first of all, we don't. This might play out by the time people listen to this and see this. Packers are out of the playoffs now. Mm-hmm. Do you sit Aaron Rodgers back down?
I do. Yeah. He's not healthy. You can see he's not healthy.
Yeah, he said he was really sore after the game.
Yeah, and what
well.
A courageous effort by guy.
They blitzed him 31 times, Jeff.
Absolutely. You know they're going to.
Yeah.
Because and then they'll send him a sympathy card at Christmas. But, you know, the bottom line is, you know, you had to attack the pocket, and you had to make him work, and you had to hit him. I mean, that's what as Frank Gans used to say all the time to me, that's what the competition demands. You know, I was really impressed with him. I thought, obviously, you could see the rust on him. He missed a couple throws where he got pressured a little bit, couldn't really get the ball out because he got two wide open guys for touchdowns that end up being picks.
Well, that in front of him, don't you? And
let
him chase it down.
And he couldn't lay the ball out and let him go, which is so uncharacteristic of him. So, obviously, even though cardiovascular, he was strong and he had thrown and all that, there's a point of – there's no way that you are going to be in the kind of arm shape that you need to be to make those kind of throws. And you know, again, I've seen him make those throws numerous times.
Right, so we know he can do it. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. So, but great effort, and I thought, you know, the Packers have got to find a way. Again, here we go on that building thing. Teddy Thompson is a draft and develop guy. They have one free agent, unrestricted free agent on their starting,
I think that's the source.
Jari Evans, the guard.
I think that's the source of frustration for Packers fans, Jeff, because you can level the, you know, Ted Thompson could come back and say, well, we're building long term. You know, you have a window here. The highest rated quarterback in NFL history, arguably the best thrower of the football in NFL history, and they've won one Super Bowl, Jeff. Well, that's, you know, and this is a quarterback-driven league. They should have been in more Super Bowls, and you do that by – look how many times New England kind of load up and put people around Brady or try to
I'm with you 100%. And I see evidence of that in some cases on that team because you look at – they have not had a running game, right? It was actually, in my opinion, it was good for the Packers' development to lose Rodgers and not be so reliant upon – his ability to move the ball, find other ways to move the ball. Well, you look at the Packers statistically, it's probably one of the better running game years they've had. They go out and get Aaron Jones in the fifth round. They go out and get, McCullough in the fourth round. You know, two really good-looking young running backs. But they got to get the defense fixed. Too many big plays. Troy Aikman said it. It's true. They're very complex. They do a lot of things. And sometimes, too many times, they give up big plays.
One quick one, Jeff, and then we're going to get on to make our picks for week 16 in the NFL and take your questions in the mailbag. We put the spotlight on your guy last week, Michael Bennett. I'm a Thomas Davis guy. I've spent time with him in London. I like Thomas a lot. I've interviewed him out of the Pro Bowl. I've interviewed him a couple of times and spent a lot of time with him. I'm going to say this again. One of the good guys of the NFL. And he's been suspended two games for what was a cheap shot. And I think, and this is all I'm going to say, he can't defend it, but I think he really, really regretted it straight away.
There,
you could see him on the sidelines.
It was so evident, Neil. You're exactly right. We talked about it because we get that feed that the fans don't see. And he was distraught. And I mean distraught. And anybody who's been through as much
three torn ACLs
and as many injuries and had to work as hard as he had, those are the last guys that are going to put another of their brothers, and it's a brotherhood, the National Football League, at risk. That was a reactionary hit on an interception, right? It's so incredible to me, because I know it's TV. Right? It's TV. He gets two games on a reaction like that. Something happens that fast. When Juju Schuster gets one game.
What about Gronk, Jeff? So Gronk's one in the back of Tredavious White. We talk about Gronkowski at what Gronk did to Pittsburgh on Sunday night. If the same standard is being applied to Rob Gronkowski as Thomas Davis, Gronk isn't even playing in that
Pittsburgh
game.
Wins the game. But that's what I'm saying. It's so crazy because, and again, there are guys in that committee that have played the game. And sometimes I think they get pressured or lose sight of the fact that when there's an interception and you turn and see an off-color jersey, you block it. And what's the rule now? What's the rule on blocking on an interception? It has to be above the waist. So he's got to hit him high. right? So how can you take that and make it longer than a guy who push cracks a linebacker who isn't even looking, more defenseless than Davante Adams, or just as defenseless, if you can argue that one, and hits him, then stands over him and taunts him, gets one game. Tight end from New England comes off the third rope, the turnbuckle, drops his elbow into a defenseless guy on the ground and gets one game. Come on.
Let's make our picks in week 16 before you get off on one. All right, first game on Saturday. Two games on Saturday on Sky Sports, Jeff, to start off week 16.
Whoa.
Oh, do you want to know where we are in the scores?
Yeah, let's talk about where we
are. I didn't want to.
And where we're going.
All right, so I went 12-4 last week, and I
that's
am
a good. That's really a good 12-4.
Don't
you get a contract extension for 12-4? Maybe a little Coach of the Year nomination.
It. Don't be condescending. That makes me 139-86 for the first time this season. So you're like the Patriots. I'm the Steelers. That I led the whole way. I've controlled this whole thing. You are in front. You are 140-85 because last week, somehow, some way, you went 15-1. Ooh. You're like the 85 Bears.
Sean, are you listening?
Which one did you get wrong, I wonder?
I don't know, but all I'm going to say is this. I appreciate the comparison to the five-time world champion New England Patriots. However,
you're welcome.
I am probably more like the Dolphins because I have one good week and I'll be back to it, back to normal next.
Oh, Jay Cutler was in the spirit of Christmas, wasn't he?
Giving.
Give it away again. Let's not talk about Jay Cutler too much this week. So Saturday, two games on Sky Sports, starting with Indianapolis at Baltimore. There's no way. There's two teams, both used to be the Colts.
Baltimore.
Both going Baltimore in that one. Baltimore will enjoy, it's in Baltimore, they'll enjoy beating down the Colts. That's never changed
over all
the years.
You know what I think I'm going to do for the next 2 weeks? I'm going to pick the exact same one as you because that ensures at the end of the year I'll beat you by one. I am a little bit like Belichick, aren't
I? Yeah, you are. Yeah, very much. I'm on to the next game. Minnesota at Green Bay. I'm going Minnesota.
Minnesota.
No impressions from you this week yet, Jeff?
I'm saving something for you.
Oh, okay. Little Christmas treat.
Well, you know, this is the Christmas podcast, isn't
it?
It
is. This is the one. This is the one. We should have put hats on. It's too late now. We're 45 minutes in.
And those jumpers. Nope.
You don't like them?
Nope.
I was going to rock up to the Sky Studios on Christmas Eve with that. Box of Quality Street.
We're giving two Giants ones away, and I don't think anybody's asked for them yet, so we may.
I do like a Christmas jumper. To be fair, I like all Christmas.
Yeah, you are a really Christmassy guy, aren't you? I know that around the Reynolds house is a big deal.
I've been bringing mince pies into the studio on Sunday nights.
What are you getting, Georgie?
I can't say. He might listen. Actually, he doesn't listen. Well, he might.
Well, I told him to listen because I was going to ask you.
Yeah. I can't say.
Darn it.
An orange in his stocking, you know. Stick and a hoop like the old days. Let's go to Sunday. I can tell you, as we're recording this, we don't know what our second game is going to be on Sky Sports because we've got to work out some stuff with our calculators as to which games are going to be relevant and which ones aren't. So,
like that one you have in your upper.
Yeah, I've got it there. I've been
pocket.
Working on it. No, that's my pecs, Jeff. It's just too big a burst. Bursting. It's that or man boobs. I'm not sure which.
Oh, ouch.
Atlanta at New Orleans is going to be our first game, though, on Sunday
Game.
Sky Sports. Yeah, let's start there. Who do you. Like, Falcons won the first one. I've got a feeling that New Orleans are going to level things up.
It's in N.O.
It is in N.O., but Falcons have won five of the last six.
Yeah. I didn't think they were all that hot on Monday night, though.
No.
And that's a Tampa Bay team that wasn't very good. Mm. I'm going to take New Orleans, and I'm going to tell you why I'm going to take New Orleans. I'm going to take New Orleans through the whole deal. Mm. I got six of my ex-players are playing on the Saints. And wouldn't that be fun to have six guys at the Super Bowl?
That'd be unbearable. Absolutely unbearable. Come on, the Falcons. Let's stay in the NFC South.
I love you too, Neil.
Let's stay in the South. Tampa Bay at Carolina. I think Carolina win this one at home.
Yeah, I agree with you.
All right.
You're starting to really see it now because teams like Tampa, you know, they're playing out the string, let's be honest.
Yeah.
You know? And so people like Carolina who have everything to play for.
Yeah, well, I made the joke to Takeo where it was a touchdown for Washington on Sunday night. What was it? Capri Bibbs, the running back. And I said to Takeo, week 16 or 17 is where, and I always print them out. I have every depth chart of every team because of the red zone stuff. Mm-hmm. This is the time of year when you see touchdowns scored by guys. You're like, who? What?
Yeah.
Because the team's playing out the string, want to give the guys a chance to play.
Yeah, and the other thing is, and this is, like, if you've been on the practice roster all year, right, and they activate you for a game or at the end of the season, they continue to hold your rights for next year.
Right.
So you're going to see exactly that. There are going to be a lot of guys that are going to that will come off and be activated on off a practice roster in these next 2 weeks so that teams can look at them playing a real game, but then also so that they make sure that they have that player's rights through the offseason.
Let's move on to a big one, Cleveland at Chicago.
You know,
I'm Chicago.
Yeah, this one's killing me though because, you know, I watched John Fox the other day, and you know, he is dying. You can see he's dying, and I just hope his team doesn't quit on him.
Yeah,
and if they don't, Chicago will win it.
All right, both going Chicago to win that one. Detroit at Cincinnati. There's a team that's dying, dead.
Wow.
Done.
Cincinnati looked like it was a scrimmage when they played that game.
Two
I
touch.
Swear to God.
No tackle into the ground.
It was like I saw a couple guys just go, nah, I don't think I want to do that.
Business decisions exactly. Late in the year. It's cold.
Take Detroit.
Detroit to win that one. Both going Detroit. You've copied me on everything so far. You are not lying when you said.
I'm just giving you. All okay, right. Then give me the next one. I'll go first.
Miami at Kansas City.
Give me a game, will you?
All right. You don't want that one?
No, well, I'll tell you, I'm going to take the Chiefs, but, I mean, if you want me.
Buffalo at New England, then. Well, you're going to take Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking Chiefs as well. That's good because we've skimmed over Jay Cutler. I'd rather drive over Jay Cutler, but I can't, so we'll just skim over him. Buffalo at New England.
New England just won another division title coming off of a viciously physical game. You know, it's just they're going to knock the dog stew out of Buffalo and make sure the Buffalo understands who still rules
his top
that
dog.
Division. Yep.
I'm going to copy you. Neil. I might have to let you go first, and then I'm going to have to roll the dice, I think, at some point here. The Chargers at the Jets.
Ooh.
Bryce Petty against Philip Rivers.
Well,
it's in New York.
That's the thing. That's the Bryce Petty advantage Chargers.
I'm going to charge us as well. Damn it. The Rams at Titans. Titans at home. Strong at home. Titans, they're a juggernaut on offense at the moment, the Titans. Marcus Mariota's in top form. Taking on a Rams team that only won in Seattle by 35. Probably got to go Titans, haven't you, Jeff?
Nope.
Oh. Rams?
Rams.
Rams are looking good, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, you talk about complete football
I'm going
teams.
Rams as well.
Huh?
Yeah.
I mean, they did it every single way you can do it. Defense, special teams, offense.
I think it was telling in that game that they were up by 40 and Sean McVay's on the sideline still rallying the troops, still demanding more.
Well, I think that that's a little bit of what you got there. And I think that that's really good for that football team. It's so easy, particularly as a young head coach like he is, to just be basking in all of the glory right now. And everybody's talking about you and, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And it's really, this time of year, it's really easy to get the success flu. And he is not going to let that happen.
All right, both going Rams then. Denver at Washington. So Washington have got nothing to play for. Denver have won two straight. Denver have got a dominant defense. You've got to go Denver, haven't you, Jeff?
No.
I'm going Washington.
Go Redskin.
Yeah, I'm going Washington. This
You're
is
trying
failing
to entice me into this.
At least I'm coming up with arguments. So, Jacksonville at San Francisco.
This is the end of the little romance that's happening.
Jimmy Garoppolo's won three in a row.
Little honeymoon that's happening up in San Jose.
Jacksonville. I'm going Jacksonville.
I'm with you.
Seattle at Dallas. Zeke's back.
Now,
Zeke's
this back. Is really going to be interesting.
Yeah, how, so who's going to pick here, Jeff?
Pete Carroll's Seattle team has, to my knowledge, never been beaten like they were beaten the other day. And I think they got some issues.
Did you see the comments from Earl Thomas, where Earl Thomas said that Bobby Wagner had a hamstring injury, it was holding us back, and that he shouldn't have played? Bobby Wagner puts on Twitter, "Keep my name out of your mouth." Well, it's like, wow, it's two teammates there.
But see, that's always been there with Seattle, and we kind of glossed it over when they're winning.
Cures a lot of it. Yeah.
But it was really interesting because I was sitting in the studio and you were doing Red Zone, and as you were talking to the viewers on Red Zone, I just looked at Tequila, and it was the long run that at the end of the game that Gurley had, and Bobby looked
he couldn't get across, either didn't want to run or couldn't run, and
didn't belong on the field.
I'm going Dallas to win.
I agree with you.
At Monday night, Pittsburgh at Houston. So Pittsburgh, no Antonio Brown. They're on the road. It's tough to win in Houston.
Is this the Texans. Last? Is this the last game of the week?
No, there's two.
Okay, well, I'm going to take Pittsburgh.
I'm going to take Pittsburgh as well. And I'm going to save my powder for next week. I'll get you next week if I can't get you this week. And
next
lastly,
week, if it's this close.
Yeah, I'm going to roll the dice
if it's
a little
this close,
bit.
No, let's do blind picks.
Right, I feel like we've done that most of the year. To be fair. And the last one on Christmas night. So these two games are on Christmas, and they're both on Sky Sports. Pittsburgh at Houston and Oakland at Philadelphia. I think the Raiders have been a huge disappointment. I'm going to go Philadelphia.
Eagles.
We have picked every game the same, so you are going to have a one-game lead going into Week 17. Let's see. I made a late call for questions in the mailbag. Let's just quickly see if we have any. Of course we do. 20-odd already. And I've only
we might have one from the studio audience, too. I don't know.
A little studio audience today.
Yes, we do.
Do we have a question from our studio audience? Martin Lydon, who's a big Dolphins fan, is sitting with us today. Martin, got a question?
Normally, I've got loads of questions, but for once, I'm going to...
He's got no questions. He's so
you know
quiet.
This
all
is
right.
A, this is, although this is a groundbreaking moment on Inside the Huddle.
What, to have a studio audience?
First studio audience.
I don't think you can call an audience.
Well, we
could
call Nick. You know, well, Nick's in here, too, so that's two. We could probably go get a couple of the people from the offices and bring them in. Standing room only.
Here's a good question.
Jordan, it's all how you market.
Jordan Ridsdale says, the Eagles quarterback Nick Foles had a great game on Sunday. Do you think he can make the Eagles a serious contender for the Super Bowl? Jeff, I'm a little bit worried about the Eagles, even though they won that game against the Giants. They had to really dig deep to do it. Do you think Nick Foles, who's now 21-16 as an NFL starter, can get the job done?
Well, I think in that game, you know, if you're Doug Peterson, you come out of that game with some confidence that, yes, he can, because he had to play
for
them to win that football game, because the defense really had a bad day. And, you know, when you say, can you play from behind? Can you make the throws? Can you? I mean, it was against the Giants, but, you know, you can't downgrade his performance for who he played against. Those were tough situations he was put in, and I thought he handled them real well.
Jeff, we got lots of good football questions coming in, but I've got to ask this one from Jamie McGettrick. It says, does Jeff do other impressions, or is it just the Wizard of Oz?
Oh, I got a ton of them, man.
Have you?
Yeah.
You do Mickey from Rocky, don't you? I've heard that one before. Do you need a little bit of a tee up?
No, I mean, you got to know that movie, though. I mean, it's like, you know, you're a tomato.
You're a bum.
What
else you do? Anyway,
I do Rocky.
Go on.
Huh? Yo, Mick, what happened to my locker?
That'll do me.
Mick, I'm on Skid Row here.
Merry Christmas, everyone. That's our gift to you all. Let's take one more, unless you got more.
I got a ton. We just don't have enough time for all that stuff.
What else you got? What's your genre? Have you got a genre, or can you go across the board?
You know, there was.
Is it all movies? Is it all sort of movie related?
There was a TV show when I was a kid, and there was this old cowboy, and he'd go like this. Nibbit, Peter, yeah, behind the barn. No brag, just fact.
Clearly, no one in the UK has a clue who you're talking about right now.
Well, you asked me if I could do impressions. You didn't tell me they had to be born in England.
Well, no, they just have to be relevant to the audience. Let's have this one from Tom Marshall.
I'll bet you we'll get at least two. Two no, hits on Twitter that know who that was.
I'm not going to. I'll take the under on that. I'll take the under on that one. Last one, Jeff. Tom Marshall says, with a sale on the horizon, could the Panthers become a candidate for an NFL franchise to move to London? I guess.
What do you think about that?
Well, I think it proves that. I don't think it will happen. I think they're firmly established in Charlotte. The Bank of America Stadium is the name of their stadium. Bank of America is based in Charlotte. I think that bank somehow finds a way to keep that team in that market. But this is going to be the kind of situation where we end up with a London franchise, because when teams have uncertainty, when a new owner comes in, this is the scenario that we have to keep an eye out for, because it's not going to be an expansion team. It's going to be an existing team that moves. So I don't think it happens this occasion with the Panthers, but it's exactly this type of thing that will happen that will lead to us getting a franchise one day.
Well, when you look at the price tag, right, it's a pretty rarefied air that you're breathing. Mm. I mean, that's an exclusive neighborhood,
right,
that people that can pay that kind of money. I thought what was fascinating to me was Sean Puffy Combs coming out and saying that he would like to have an opportunity to put a group together to buy the team, he being the majority player, and it would be the first African-American owner in the NFL, which I think, you know, we've gone so far with the Rooney Rule and coaches and players and front office and all that, and now to have an African-American owner, I think, would be an awesome thing.
We're done. That's it. Well, we'll record something for our dear listeners and viewers between Christmas and New Year, but we won't do it. We won't actually get off our couches and do it. We'll just this will be the last one that is before Christmas. What are you doing? You got to find something.
I got to find something.
You want me to fill?
Yes, Phil, please.
What would you like me to fill with? A Christmas carol? How about that?
No, I just want you to fill, please.
Fill. We're done, Jeff. Don't you know what done
means?
Yeah,
but
I'm going to wish all of our listeners and our viewers a very Merry Christmas. We appreciate every one of you who downloads our Inside the Huddle podcast. And I'm trying to fill while Jeff is it. You found it?
I can't find it because the freaking Wi-Fi in this building is
blaming culture. Right. Blaming culture. That's bad.
Driving home for Christmas.
Well, are you going to get the music?
If I was going to get the words, I was going to sing it to you because I love that song and I hear it.
Don't need the words. Home for Christmas.
I hear it 10 million times.
Red lights all around.
Red lights all around.
Yeah.
Driving home for Christmas. Oh, our studio audience.
Gonna get your feet on solid ground or something, isn't it?
I don't know.
Yeah. Get my feet on solid ground.
By Chris Rea. I'm driving home for Christmas. Oh, I can't wait to see those faces. I'm driving home for Christmas. Well, I'm moving down that line. It's been so long, but I'll be there. I sing this song to pass the time away. Driving home for Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everyone. And before he goes into verse number two, say goodbye to the good folks, Coach.
Meli, Kaliki, Maka, and Aloha.
Right, we're actually back on Inside the Huddle because Jeff started singing Chris Rea, Driving Home for Christmas, which we're now going to have to pay royalties for. Well done, Jeff. But you sang the wrong song. You wanted to sing another song for everyone.
Actually, it's a little bit of I got a tear in my eye right now. Think about being on the beach in Haleiwa with the Christmas tree stuck in the sand.
What does it make you want to sing, Jeffrey?
Meli Kaliki Maka is the word we say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day. Meli Kaliki Maka.
There is your bonus coverage on Inside the Huddle. We wish you all a very Merry Christmas. We'll be back after the break.